Hey, ladies, or that special lady in your life, are you ready to relax, restore, and recharge? We've got the perfect getaway for you at the 4th Annual Release, Refresh, Renew Women's Retreat happening at the lovely Hyatt Place Suites Hotel in Schaumburg, Illinois. This isn't just any retreat. It's a transformative weekend designed to uplift and empower you. You'll enjoy inspiring speakers, soulful worship, wellness breakouts with health coaching, and even a comedy set to keep you laughing. It's the perfect chance to take a break from the hustle, to renew your mind, body, and soul, to find peace and deep connection with like-minded women. Spots are filling up, so secure your place today at elisi.org/womensretreat. That's elisi.org/womensretreat. See you there. This is Live Exceptionally. I'm Dr. Yvonne, your host, founder of Elisi, and author of Can You Sleep Like This? In the Rest of God and Reflections on Rest. Forgiveness. It's a touchy subject. Can we honestly say that we forgive someone with a conscious, deliberate decision to release them from our negative feelings about them or of what they did or who they are? Release them of any resentment or even vengeance trying to get back at them. Today, we're speaking with our guest, Pastor Candy Hayman, co-pastor of LifeGate International Church in Georgia, and also a founder of the E3 Ministry School, Equip, Engage, and Encounter. And she is trained in counseling and trained in inner healing. Let's tune in. Pastor Candy, it's so good to have you with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Yvonne. I am honored and blessed to be here.
Well, when I look at wellness, I look at the whole being, our spirit, our soul, and our body. And when I look at how we can experience peace, particularly as believers, how can we actually cultivate peace in our emotions from a whole wellness perspective?
It's this is an important topic, and it's one that I have traveled the journey to wholeness in. And I'm so thankful that you're making it an important invitation to people to consider, especially in this day when things are, there's a lot of anxiety. There's more anxiety and mental illness than there ever has been that we know of. And there are more people, so of course, but it seems that there is more fear right now. And people are walking around trying to find peace. And the first thing I would say is that you cannot find peace on your own. Mm-hmm. You cannot manufacture it. You can train your body or train your mind to practice behaviors and thoughts that help you, but true peace only comes from Christ and his presence in us. And so I look at Philippians 4:6-7, and we're told not to be anxious about anything, not to be fearful, but to come to the Lord with prayer and our request. And this is what happens when we come to the Lord, is that the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Does this? It guards our hearts and our minds. And that's our soul, heart, mind, our will, our thoughts, our emotions. And so we also understand that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's a gift from God. It's not anything. Our human nature often is opposite of peace. We get stressed, and stress is one of the biggest culprits and roots of illness and mental, emotional distress. And so we have to think of how did Jesus carry that? And we'll talk about that through the morning, I think. But I think of the disciples, and they're in the storm with Jesus. And if I were in the storm, I would be worried if I'm going to die. That's what they were like, we're going to die. And so they woke Jesus up, who he's just out like a rock, you know, he's sleeping. And they woke him up and said, don't you care that we're going to die? And he didn't jump up, and he didn't get dressed about it, and he wasn't surprised. The scripture says, he said, "Peace, be still." Mm. And that we know that we can lean on him. And then this peace is not, and the reason why we can't manufacture it on our own, it's not from the world. He says in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So let me clarify what peace is not. It's not happiness. It's not peaceful circumstances. It's not numbness, where you don't feel anything. Peace is actually the presence of God, the presence of Jesus and his Holy Spirit in us, dwelling in us, our spirit, our soul, and our body. And when we feel his peace, our body, our emotions are in union. They are in harmony in us, and we are at harmony with the world, even if things are coming at us that are in conflict. We can have peace because it's his presence reigning in us. So
that,
yeah, go ahead.
No, that's so good when you, because you walk through that process of how all three are connected, the spirit, soul, and body. I think a lot of times when we look at anxiety and stress and things that happen that allow us to have an emotional response, most often that response is based on some type of external stimuli, something that's happening, whether it's in our family, in the world, the news, that is causing us to be anxious. So in the moment when we respond, how can we integrate and have that wholeness as it relates to not allowing our emotions of that anxiety or that trigger that triggers us in the moment to not overwhelm us or overtake us?
I think in Hebrews, it tells us about a bitter root that can be within us and defile many. And so sometimes that bitter root is in us because of something done to us, circumstances of our childhood, circumstances of our birth, and even circumstances of our conception play into this, because we were created spirit. We're brought to the earth as body and soul and spirit joined together. It's very important to me and to our ministry here at LifeGate that we minister to the whole person. And I do think, I want to touch on that many Christians separate, they compartmentalize. And so you go here for your physical, you go to the doctor, which I go to the doctor. I had surgery a few years ago, but Jesus was with me. But you go to the doctor, but we tend to separate that from Jesus healing us and our emotional needs. We think, oh, well, that must be, that's just my personality. And so we don't address that it may be a heart condition that we have that needs healing. So the first thing, the first way you're going to be able to walk in true peace is to get rid of the obstacles in the way. And sometimes those are hidden. We talked briefly before about this, the lies that we believe, the wounds that we have, and the unforgiveness that we hold in our heart. And those will be blocks that will hinder you and hinder me from walking in the peace of Christ. Because again, it's not just merely a head choice, it's a heart choice. And when our heart has been wounded and compartmentalized, fragmented and shattered, we have to allow Jesus to heal that so that that bitter root of pain, of disappointment, of fear and anxiety does not grow up and trigger us anymore. Because triggers are always a sign that God wants to have a conversation with me. You know, what caused me to react in that way instead of respond with peace?
Right. One of the things that I think about when we respond in the moment are those triggers that if we don't deal with it, And we get angry, we get anxious, we're stressed out, we feel overwhelmed, that if we don't deal with it in the moment to like give it to the Lord or to process it, it goes unresolved. And so basically as time goes on and more things happen, it's almost like those feelings get suppressed and they begin to grow and develop. Where it's not just bitterness or resentment coming out. It's also where we begin to have aught against others and unforgiveness begins to set in. And yes. So when we look at forgiveness, I think, and I don't want to assume, but we do hear about the importance of forgiveness, about how it's important to forgive other people and that it is helpful for us to experience the blessings of the Lord. Like we won't receive the blessings of the Lord. We won't receive the favor of the Lord if we don't forgive. And I've attended a couple conferences last year where even in those sessions, they talked about the impact of revival coming, that revival will come when the church begins to repent and when the church begins to forgive. But away from a broader spectrum, individually, how do we take responsibility for walking in forgiveness? What is the role of forgiveness for experiencing peace and experiencing emotional healing?
Forgiveness is the key to freedom. It really is. So peace is freedom. Peace in Christ is freedom. And forgiveness is the key. Now, I also teach always, when I teach about forgiveness, I teach about judgments because I had trauma in my childhood and I forgave. I forgave those who hurt me and wounded me, but I couldn't get rid of it. Mm. I did the work of I forgive. And that began the journey actually of me becoming whole, becoming healed. The Lord taking away the lies and the pain and the sorrow and the disappointments and the trauma. But forgiveness is also associated almost like one side of a coin is forgiveness and the other side is judgment. Because what I learned along the way is when we have unforgiveness, we actually have a judgment of some sort. I've not found anyone that didn't yet. And so it may not be conscious. It's usually a protector. So say you were abused as a child and your protector is men are not safe. So I'm not going to open myself up to men. All right. I forgive, but I can't get past it because I have put a wall of protection around my heart. And so it takes Jesus to say, you know, by the time you're an adult, that's going to be played out by you being attracted or a magnet to men who will hurt you. It's because we have sown this judgment as a protector. Awesome. That's great. Protected me as a child. But as an adult, it becomes a boomerang that comes back in my lap. And so I have to repent of my own sin. My own sin is that I said, all men are unsafe. That is a judgment. So I repent of my sin of judgment, release the person to the Lord, let him be the one to judge, forgive the person that hurt me, and receive forgiveness from the Lord. That's the process. And you will find, once I learned about releasing, repenting of my own sin, things started falling off me. Thought patterns, emotions, shame and guilt. I became a new person. And I went, oh, this is the key. It's forgiveness and repentance. Pretty simple, very powerful.
What do you think about self-forgiveness? How does self-forgiveness play into the whole process of forgiveness? Because we can focus on the other person, which I think everything that you said is very powerful. How does self-forgiveness play into that?
Well, the goal of the enemy is to destroy us and separate us from God and destroy our true identity. Self-forgiveness is necessary because it is going against the identity of God, the imago Dei within us, that he says, I created you in my image. And so when we speak against ourselves by thoughts or agree with emotions, agree with lies about ourselves, we are empowering the identity from the enemy, from Satan. When we choose to agree with who God says we are, we are agreeing with heaven. And there is power in that. But unless you are healed, the healing journey is not a one-time event. It's a journey. And Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that God will help heal us and deliver us and present us blameless, spirit, soul, and body. He will keep us blameless. He's sanctifying us, Paul says in that scripture. And it's a journey to wholeness. It's not an event that says, I did it, I'm done, because I did the one thing. Okay. You know, I think until we're face to face with Jesus, we will be in the process of becoming like him. And that's what holiness is. That's what sanctification is. So the process is I have to get rid of the obstacles. I have to forgive and repent, and I have to agree with heaven. But if I don't have those obstacles, those hurts deleted from my heart, my brain is going to hold on to them. So for me, I knew that I had come a long, long way in healing because I was one that believed the lies in my head. All right. And I thought they were my thoughts. And one day I woke up after years of walking through just little by little by little with the Lord. I woke up one day and my brain was silent. I heard things, but my thoughts were silent. But I had thoughts and I was like, is this what it's supposed to be like? I had peace in my brain. And I went, oh, but along the way, I removed the hurt and the pain and the wounds. I repented of my own sin. I forgave. And then I embraced truth. And I would agree with truth. I would make declarations of scriptures. If a thought, as I healed, as if a thought came against myself, I would say, no, God says this. And I teach people all the time, take the name I am, post it on your mirror. And that is the identity of God, as I am. And when we say, I am chosen, I am beloved, I am strong, I am smart, I am able to do anything with God, we are agreeing with the great I am. We have agreed with his identity. So what we say, the thought will come, the enemy is going to try to take you back into the old house with more than you had before, Luke 11. But God's word is stronger. But if you haven't done the work of forgiveness, they're just words. We have to let him do surgery in our heart, circumcise our heart. And then you will find that you begin thinking about yourself, accepting yourself. And oftentimes when I pray with people, I lead them in prayers of self-forgiveness. And it's often very hard for them to say that. I don't know if I can forgive myself for what I've done. But how can we not? Because Jesus has forgiven us. So it's crucial.
With what you're saying, when I think about our soul is our mind, our emotions, and our will. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people refer to forgiveness as an act of grace, which almost implies it's a spiritual act that in our soul and our body, when I say I forgive myself, I forgive someone else, it's our flesh that's saying it, our body saying it, our mouth, or we're willing ourselves to say it. But the act of grace or that spiritual component when people betray us, people violate us, like to people who took away someone in our life. You know, you hear sometimes people on in the media, someone unfortunately may have been killed in their family, and they get up and they say that they forgive that person. Mm-hmm. Where people are able to forgive wicked, evil, heinous things, that it's not something that we can literally do on our own. That it's not just the will of saying, I forgive. But when we're releasing that person, it also involves that spiritual component. And I believe that the two of those married together with what you're saying, by speaking the word, declaring the word, influences how we then walk in the healing of the actual act of forgiveness.
Right. Forgiveness, we can choose by our will to obey, because it is a commandment that we forgive one another. It's the prayer, the Lord's Prayer says, you know, I mean, it's not like the Ten Commandments, but Jesus talks about it an awful lot. You know, if you don't forgive, this is what will happen. But if our heart is not engaged and our spirit is not engaged, then it is, it won't be fulfilled, but it's a starting place. Sometimes that's where somebody has to start. I don't want to forgive, but I'm going to. And sometimes it takes time, but the power of the Holy Spirit can you forgive, really. The extreme wounds and pain and loss and sorrow. And that is the presence of Christ. And so always I turn people to Jesus. There have been a few times when people say, I can't forgive. And I said, well, you'll be in prison, your own prison, for a long time. The perpetrator, that he's, God has him. That's up to God what he does with him. But you will be in your own prison, because you will be bound by his sin against you. And so I often will say, can I forgive on your behalf until you can? And then often I remind people, what did Jesus say on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's so important as Christians, because he was in union with his Father in obedience, in great suffering, in death, in accusation and betrayal, all alone, except for his mom and a few around that loved him well. It was a scary time for the people that loved him, and they ran away, many, you know, it's very scary. So if Jesus could say that, and he says we're to be like him, can we not say, Holy Spirit, help me with the power of Jesus' name, forgive, and just keep asking for help? Because when we ask for help, God answers, and he empowers us by his Holy Spirit. Grace is the empowerment to do what God has asked us to do. Without his grace, it is an act of man. When we want to forgive, when we say, I do want to forgive, and we can't, we ask God. That's why people can forgive in extreme situations, and we're in awe of that. But we can do that only with the empowering grace of God. If you extend forgiveness out of your own will, it only lasts for a short distance. But the empowering grace of forgiveness from God lasts eternally. It's an eternal act of freedom and release.
Right, because when people, including myself, want to say, I have to forgive, I forgive this person, I forgive this person, it's something that I'm doing, I'm trying to work up. I'm trying to do it out of my own will, my own emotions. But when we involve Holy Spirit in the process, then I believe it becomes more of a powerful and not just long lasting, but an actual completion that you, the freedom is there, versus just saying, I forgive that person. You know, people, sometimes it can be a bit of a trite saying, I forgive them. I forgave them. Like, I forgave them. I forgave them. But it's something that it's more our words or lip service versus it being something from the heart. And I really feel like this is something that God wants us to grow in as believers, even with all the things that we see that's happening today in the media and politics and news. There's so much negativity, so much railing, accusations, judgments. And it's like, my goodness, where, how did we get to this state that even if we have different biblical differences or interpretations or political parties, like the attacks, the verbal attacks, and it's just so not healthy. It's not good. It's not healthy. I believe that God designs each of us to live fully. He designs each of us to live abundantly. And in order to live fully and to live abundantly, it involves walking in wholeness and healing. And that if we have the peace of God in us, we will be less prone to be triggered by things that people say on social media, in the news, that we will be less apt to respond negatively in that regard. And so when I see this theme happening of negativity and criticism and all this, the peace of God, that's not peace, in my opinion. And then so we're accusing people, even if that person that we see on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, someone we don't even know, like people just attacking others. There was this lady on social media and she did something. I didn't agree with what she did, but the comments, and this is a believer, she did something that she felt was right and she stood up for something that happened at her church and that's what their standard was. And people were attacking her and calling her names and it was horrific. It was horrific, horrific. Right. And when I look at the differences of how people see things, differences in denominations, differences politically, all these things are like, it's stress is manifesting, anxiety is manifesting. People are being traumatized by what they see, but it's not in a way that aligns with how we're supposed to live and live fully and abundantly. And I went off on a tangent, but right. At the end of the day, all these things, you're seeing the stress, you're seeing the anxiety, but it's not in alignment with peace. It's not in alignment with how God has designed us as believers, and it's believers that are doing some of these responses. Yes. What are your thoughts on that, on how we manage these type of circumstances and our emotions in the midst of all these external, cultural, political matters?
Yeah. Well, Cain and Abel, prime example. Cain was angry and jealous because his offering was not accepted. And the Lord comes to him and says, if you don't learn to master your emotions, sin is crouching at your door and it will overtake you. And that is so important that we learn to master our emotions. Adam was given dominion over the earth to rule and reign. And that has been given to us from Jesus. That is not a political thing. It is a kingdom of God thing. We are to rule and reign with the Holy Spirit, with the wisdom of the word, with the power of the word, the power of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus' love, all the ways that we know in our head. But when our actions and our emotions don't line up with the fruit of the Spirit, we know, and Paul does talk in several books about the opposite emotions and actions and behaviors of the fruit of the Spirit. So if we're not acting in love, if we're being triggered and we're angry and jumping off the cliff to annihilate everybody that doesn't agree with us, we are actually in sin and are not walking with Jesus. So the problem is we have to learn to master our emotions. You can't do that if you don't walk through inner healing and wholeness and deliverance. You just can't. Inner healing is a deliverance that goes to the heart and says, let's make more room for Jesus and less room for the enemy. You know, let's kick the enemy out and let's hear what Jesus says to you and who you are and walking in true identity. I get really perturbed with social media sometimes because people are so unkind, and it is Christians. And then I get heartbroken, and I just don't get it. But people are, we have to submit to the cross. We have to die to ourselves, and we have to listen to God and read his word. Let the word come in us and come out of us. Not, we're looking like the world right now. Many Christians, many churches are looking like the world. That's not what we're called. We are not of the, we're in the world and not of the world. So what are you going to do? I'll tell you one way the Lord showed me. I won't go into the story how, but how he taught me how to master my emotion. And when I talk about this, you have to retrain your brain. There are physical imprints of your thoughts that have been there for years. So when he removes them, you have to put in new thoughts, the thoughts that are aligned with God. Most, your emotions are the same. You might get triggered. Okay, but that's not me. That's not who I am anymore. So the Lord taught me this. If I am responding out of anger, I am out of peace. I am out of will, because that's not a response. It's actually a reaction. You know, it's a reaction. I want to respond with Christ. It's not a sin to be angry, but when I'm lashing out on someone with that anger, that becomes my sin. You know, I've been hurtful and harmful. So what am I going to do in that moment? And he said, you have authority. I gave you authority over your body, your spirit, and your soul. Jesus is my authority. I have authority under him. He had the same authority given to Adam, but even more. You know, Adam was a precursor to Jesus. So I tell my soul, my mind, I actually, for a season, a whole year, I would stand up and I would say, when I felt myself out of sorts, and I'd say, soul and body, you must yield to the Spirit of Christ in me. And I would say to, and sometimes I would say it like this, I command my soul and body to yield to the Spirit of Christ in me. And then I would say, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit in me, rise up and rule and reign in me. And it was, I was in training and boot camp with the Lord on this, and I overcame. So go on, about a year later, the Lord said, you're getting a little sloppy with your emotions. You know, he said, you need to pick that truth up again. And so I started doing it, and it just became who, mostly who I am. And so he's not just said, do this. Be kind, be loving, be gentle, have patience. He is saying, I've given you a way to do it. I have actually given you authority over your soul and over your body by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ.
No, it is so needed at this time. We talk about forgiveness. We talk about self-forgiveness. Most often this can be people who are close to us, things that have happened to us personally, but there's this whole dynamic around media that even in our interactions on social media and related to the news, we need to forgive people, people we don't even know that are doing things maybe that we don't agree, but to respond, as you said, lash out in anger. I think people say, well, the Bible says be angry and not sin, but our response is where the sin comes in. So I think how you share that is beautiful about taking authority over our emotions, our mind, our will, so that they are in alignment with the word of God and with the character of Christ and the fruits of the Spirit. Do you have any last comments that you'd like to say, or like to say a prayer for us and bless us with walking in forgiveness, the peace of God, and authority over our flesh?
Yeah. I want to encourage you, if you've been trying to do everything right, you just might as well give up, because you can't. But you can seek Jesus And yet, a lot of times we need the body of Christ to help us deal with these wounds and pains and obstacles and lies. We need help. And there is help out there now. There are a lot of people that minister to the heart to be set us free. You know, Jesus, the first thing he said when he got up to inaugurate his ministry, he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captive free, to heal the lame and let the blind see and release the prisoner." That's what he wants to do. That is how, that is our freedom. And then that passage goes on and talks about, he gives us beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, and he makes us into strong, mighty oaks of righteousness. So it can be done. It just can't be done by your will and by your desire. It has to be the sanctification, the holy walk that we are invited to have with Jesus, that our spirit, soul, and bodies become one within us and one with Christ. And so then peace will come. Peace will be deposited in us. The more room for Christ, the more peace we can have. So I just want to pray for you. This scripture that I alluded to earlier, if I see it really quickly, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the peace of God is himself. It really is. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is peace. He is our peace. His Spirit is peace. So Holy Spirit, even now, Jesus, Father, will you come? And I'm sorry if I get teary. There are some who are watching this and said, I want peace. And I've looked everywhere. I've tried so hard. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm right here at your door. Open the door of your heart and let me fill you and heal you and bring you into who God created you to be. And so I pray this scripture, may the God of peace sanctify you, heal you, make you whole, deliver you, save you, rescue you, make you holy like Jesus. May he sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, your whole soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and your body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, today we open up our hearts and say, let your kingdom come, let your love come, let your healing come, let your will be done on earth in us as it is in heaven, as you promised you would set us free. And how will we know that we are free indeed? It's when we respond like you, Jesus. So our prayer is, do anything you have to do to make us like you. Make us sound like you, love like you, think like you, talk like you, act like you. Make us holy as you are holy. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Candy. This has been very rich. It's encouraging to me, even with things that I shared with you earlier, just to remember to not walk in judgment and to walk in forgiveness. Amen.
Amen. Such a pleasure. You're always so wonderful to be with.
Thank you. If you like what you hear, hit the like or subscribe button. Share this episode with friends and drop a rating. It only takes a second and helps us to continue quality content. Your support makes all the difference.